All right. Good afternoon, beautiful people. Good afternoon. It's good to see your faces. Welcome to TLC service. Glad to have you guys here. You guys watching from at home, happy to have you guys there. Hope you guys are there because you're sick, not because you conveniently don't want to come, right? We're glad that you guys are here. Welcome to our Sunday service. We are in a series called Rhythm of Rest. It is part of this overall theme of 2023 for TLC, which is Rhythm with Christ. We believe that not only do you need to have a relationship with God, that is the primary part, but it requires out of that relationship a rhythm to your life that matches the proclamation of your relationship. If you say, I have a relationship with God, but the rhythms in your prayer life doesn't match that, do you really have a rhythm, a relationship with God? If you say that I have a relationship with God, but the rhythm of your work, how you go about doing it, how you go about approaching it, does not have a rhythm with Christ, are you really in relationship to God? And in the same way, rest. Believe it or not, this is the hard one for everybody, but believe it or not, rest is also how you would say, you know what, I have a relationship with God. Well, how's your rhythm of rest? Because if you don't rest well, if you're not in a part that's resting correctly, you may not have this relationship with God that you so desperately or adamantly proclaim. So we've been talking about rest, and my hope is that I give you the permission to rest. Right? Not that I give you the permission, that's that God has given you this permission. And he actually wants you to rest. We've talked about that the rest is a gift that he gives to you. Gift to cease from your working. A day where you're no longer focusing on your income-driving mentality or your future ambition-driving mentality. It's a day where you cease and you stop. It's a gift given to you. It's on this day that you get the chance to recenter, recalibrate, right? To come back to what's important. What is the reason of my existence, my identity? Who am I? Am I the person who's going to live the rest of my life chasing after this? Am I going to be built on my work? Is my identity based on whether my profession, as there's a degree to my name, right? It's a day that God has given to us to recalibrate, recenter, and then ask the question, hey, what are we doing with my work? Is my work the hands and feet of God to love, care, and serve the world? Or is my work a means to my ends, a means to my glory, a means to my future, right? It's a gift that we are meant to use to have that type of recalibration. But it's also, and it's not just like a mental thing, but it's also a day where you can delight. God has given you this gift so that you can delight and actually meet him more. It's a day where you cease from working and you come to a place where you begin to know more of his character, his reality, his presence, his love, his glory, his holiness. This is a day where you get to delight in God, to enjoy him more. And I know that's something, might be a very weird thing for most of us, but because we haven't really practiced how to delight in God. But if we can delight in like a good meal, if we can delight in a good show, we can delight in a good walk. Those are just shadows of what God wants us to delight when it comes to him. So there's so much of me that I want you to see. And it's that day that he's given to you as a gift that you may practice to delight in him. Because the more you see God, I promise you, the more you see God, the more you want to be with him. This song has been stuck in my head all week. Better is one day. I love that song, right? It's always a reminder. I remember I sung the song. It hit me the hardest, right, when I was in college. It was finals week, right? Of course, we didn't study for 10 straight weeks, so now it's finals week, so it's like crammed 20 chapters into 1 week, right? And I'm just thinking, my life is over. This is worthless. I'm useless. I'm not gonna get anywhere. And we went to chapel that day, Thursday night chapel. I sat in the chapel, and I'm just like sad, thinking I'm gonna fail this class. And then our brother David, actually David Eunice, David was his praise leader at that time. He got up, I don't think he knew what he was singing, but he came up, he started singing Better Is One Day. And I remember as he sang Better Is One Day, all I can think about was, it's true. There is a day where I will stand in the courts of God, in the house of God, and it will be better than a thousand elsewhere, right? And I cannot wait for that day. And the more I think about it, the more I begin to delight in the very things that God, who God is, delighting in his presence, delighting in even the fact that I get to study. I begin to delight in that. See, there's so much that God wants you to experience. Rest keeps your mind centered so that you may actually come to be in a space where you can experience that. And then Kevin talked about rest so that, I talked about rest so that you can be prepared to do what God has planned for you to do. Some of us, we're all chasing after our own different things. We're all chasing after our own ambition, our own means, our own desires, our own delight. But God has something that he wants to do in and through you. Believe it or not, he has a work that he has made you to do. And it's only until you actually rest, you listen in his presence, believe, and then you have the conviction to move out and to obey. It's in those moments of rest that you begin to hear what God has to say to you. It's in those moments of rest that you begin to hear God's calling in your life. See, God has an amazing work that he wants to do through you. But before he can work through you, right, he has to be with you. He has to be with you. Some of us, we're just chasing our tails because we don't know what we're doing, so we're just kind of doing what everyone else is doing. And yet God has something so deep, so beautiful, so lovely, so amazing that he has placed upon your heart if you would just quiet yourself enough to hear it, right? But I know, today's message is this, but I know that even though we preach this with all of our hearts, Kevin, myself, we try to say, yes, please take a rest. I know that a lot of your mentality is this, right? Ain't nobody got time for rest. We're young. I got to hustle. Right? I got to get to my proverbial place, wherever that place that you believe you need to get to. And it's like, you know, I need to get there while I still have the energy to get there. Ain't nobody got time to rest. And if I took a rest, I will not have enough time to get everything I need to get done. Right? Isn't that the objection that we always have? It's like, I get it, PT. I get the whole God thing. I get the whole church thing. I get that we're supposed to rest as a command, yada, yada. But the problem is, ain't nobody got time to rest. Because if I actually took a day to rest, I won't get things done. I won't be able to move forward. I will be behind. Everyone else will be more ahead of me during this time. Today, I want to share with you guys something. I want to share with you guys why you need to rest. But secondly, I need to share with you the promise that God gave in your rest, okay? Bear in mind, God gave us this gift. So if he gave us this gift, it's going to be something he's going to use to work through us. He didn't just give us this gift so that we can be behind. He gave us this gift so that when we appreciate and we actually use it correctly, it will be a blessing. I know the contention is, or the objection is, I ain't got time. I won't be able to get things done. Today I want to share with you why you need to rest. But the secondly, most important thing, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear the promise of God to you if you would have the faith to take your rest. Hear that? It is a promise, okay? It is a promise from God to you if you would have the faith to take a rest. So open your Bibles. Let's start there. Let's start with the reason for this gift that he's given to us. Exodus 23, verse 12. Why does God give us this amazing gift? Why does God allow for us to have this one day in seven, right? In a cycle of seven, so that we don't need to do our chores, do the things of our life, do our work. Why does he give us this gift? Exodus chapter 23, verse 12. Okay. We'll be jumping a lot of different places today because I want to build the whole Sabbath picture for you guys. Exodus chapter 23, verse 12, it goes like this. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be, what's the word? Refreshed. That you may be refreshed. Why does God give us this day of rest? Because He wants for us to be refreshed so that when you go back to your daily chores of life, when you go back to your work, when you go back to your school, when you go back to wherever it is that you need to exercise your energy, you will go invigorated. You will go with renewed energy. You will go with a calibrated mind. You will go with a peaceful heart. You will go with shalom with you. You will go with God's presence. You will be refreshed. You will be refreshed when we have that. You ever notice what happens when you kind of push the 6 days of work and you go 7, 10, 14? Some of you guys are like, that's every day for me, right? In a row, when you guys don't stop, you just keep going, 6, 7, 8, 9, 14 days in a row, what begins to happen? First thing you become is what? Irritable. Ain't that true? You become irritable, right? Short-tempered, a little snappish, you know? You can say, like, you walk into the house, and all of a sudden, I'm like, hi, wife. What? Right? It's like, right? You know, you see your brother or your sister come into your room, knock on the door. It's like, you knock too loud, right? There's this snappish irritableness that begins to happen when you start going past your 6 days of rest. God wants us to rest because he knows in the rest we will have a new zeal and refreshment for it. Then what happens after that? After you get snappy, you discover that everyone around you becomes lazy or incompetent. Right? You look around, everyone here, how come everyone's so lazy? How come no one knows what they're doing? Right? How come I have to explain everything to everyone? Why is everyone always messing up? Do you know why you have that? Most of the time, it's probably because you have not. Am I speaking to some of you guys? Some of you guys are like nodding your head, like, mm-hmm, right? Some of you guys are looking at the other person like, dude, that's my life every day, Tony, right? You become upset. And then what happens? Right? As you push past the 6 days, you become resentful and you develop this victim or martyr complex. What's the matter with everybody? I have a life too. How come no one sees what I'm doing, right? How come no one's helping out, you know? And pretty soon, you move into overload and burnout, right? Why? Why? Because you're pushing beyond what God has wired for you to do. God says, 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day you shall keep it holy. You shall take a Sabbath. You shall cease. You shall stop from work. He didn't design you to go past that mark. He didn't design you to keep pushing your limits. He didn't design you to keep hustling without stopping. You know, in the turn of the 19th century, around 18th-ish, right, 18-something, around Les Mis time, Les Miserables time, right? Have you ever watched that? In France. An atheistic government was forming in that place. Element was coming, was going around there. They wanted to break out of the Judeo-Christian mentality, okay, in France. So instead of giving their people a day off, 1 in 7, you know what they did? They did give a day off. They did 1 in 10. 1 in 10. And you know what happened for the next 200 years? 12 years, actually just 12 years, not 200 years, 12 years. The French economy was so in shambles. It was broken, right? It was so devastated that they returned to 1 in 7 after the 12 years. They realized something's wrong. 1 in 10 is not working. We thought we can get people being very productive. It's not working here. You had to go 1 in 7, okay? That's why God tells us you have to have a rest day. It's a very simple thing. Rest, when you take a rest, when you recalibrate to the Lord, when you begin to delight in God, when you take the rest to begin to listen to God, all of a sudden you come back to work on the seventh day, or on your new week, and you begin to have a new zeal. You're invigorated, you're reminded, this is why I'm working, this is what it's for, right? You're reminded, my hands, my heart, my mind was given these gifts for this purpose. You have a new zeal for the Lord. You're refreshed, the Bible says. He wants you to be refreshed on this day of rest. This gift is so important. This gift is so important. So this is not like, this is not a convenience thing. This is like, you have to rest even on the busiest time of the year. Go to Exodus chapter 34. Let me show you. This is how deep he goes. It's not like I'll do my resting whenever it's convenient or like, you know, when things are going well. I will do my rest. He's saying, I want you to rest even on the busiest time of the year for you. Even on the craziest time of the year for you, when you feel like there is no absolute way I should take a rest, he says, what? I want you to rest. Look at chapter 34, verse 21. Six days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. You know what this means? Okay? He says, for them. This is for a farming economy, from agricultural farming economy, these people, they have to get in the harvest on time. They have to get out there, do all their stuff, because if they do not, and if the rain comes, it'll destroy your crops and it'll shatter income. It'll mess up their whole entire livelihood if they don't get the harvest in on time. You guys get me? So during harvest time, plowing, right, was one of the most important part of their daily activities. And God says, on the seventh day, even if it's during harvest time, you need to rest. You need to rest in the busiest time of the year. Even when you have a limited amount of time to do what you need to do, even if your whole entire livelihood rests upon it, he says, I need you to rest. So if God was talking to a department store worker, he would say what? Rest during which season? None of you guys work in department stores. So Christmas, right? Christmas season. Right? Rest. Okay? If God was talking to students, he would say rest during finals, right? If God say, if he was talking to a CPA, he says rest during tax season. There you go. You got it, right? He says even in your most busiest time, he calls you to rest because he knows you need to be refreshed. How many times you overstudy and then you get in there on the day of the final and like you just blanked out, right? And things aren't coming to you. You're hoping your short-term memory kick in, but it's just not kicking in, right? How many times if you push and you keep working and you keep hustling and you actually make more mistakes than usually you would normally do, right? I remember when I used to sermon prep. I'm serious, this is a real thing. When I used to think that I don't have enough time as a pastor to rest, and I would just push and I'll grind through sermon prep or through work week and through stuff like that. It's like, you know, Pastor Lynn would say, I need you to rest. I said, I ain't got time to rest. You know, like, I don't think you're resting, so why are you telling me to rest? This is a really weird conversation here, you know. You're giving me a lot of job to do, and you're telling me to rest. He said, I need you to rest. And I would notice a lot of times in my sermon prep, often when I read my message as I'm preaching to you guys, I'm like, oh, I made a lot of mistakes here, right? As I'm running, I'm like, oh, that's pretty bad too, right? You make these small little increments of mistakes over and over. Because why? You didn't rest. God wants you to be refreshed. He knows that if you would dare to have the faith to take one day in a cycle of seven for rest for your soul, rest to the Lord, you will come back invigorated, refreshed, ready, centered, calibrated to go and do more, to go and do much better, to go and do his work, right? But here's the problem. Still, the problem is what? If I rest, PT, I can't get things done. If I decided to take a full day, honestly, a full day to myself to be refreshed, as you say, and not think about work, as you say, I'm not going to be able to get things done. Look, I didn't tell you to do this. Bear in mind, God gave this command. Okay? It is a command. It is not a, if you like to, guys. It's so pivotal into our Christian life. It's part of the Ten Commandments. You know, it ranks with the don't worship other gods, don't make idols for your life, obey your parents. It ranks with those because it's the fourth command. Obey and honor the Sabbath. It is part of the rhythm he wants for your life. The Ten Commandments, it's not meant to, like, you know, do's or don'ts so that you can feel justified or not justified. The Ten Commandments, it's the rhythm that God wants for the flourishing of humanity, the flourishing of your soul, the way he's made you to have it. And the Sabbath is one of those things. He gave you this rest. And so the question you keep asking, I know in your faces, you're like, but I can't get things done. Now here's the promise. You guys ready? Here's the promise from God to you, that if you would faithfully work 6 days and take the faith to take that one day off, he promises that what you needed 7 days to do, what you think you needed 7 days to do, he will do it in 6 for you. Right? That's the promise. The promise is that if you have the faith to take the Sabbath, if you have the faith to take the Sabbath, he will get done in 6 what you think you needed 7 days to do. And there's 2 places in the Bible that shows that. You guys ready? Because you're thinking, where is that? I'll show it to you, right? Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. This is a story of manna. Okay? This is a story when God rained down manna into the people. Israel has come out of Egypt. They've been taken out. 10 plagues have devastated all of Egypt. Pharaoh says, get out. We don't want you anymore. 2.5 million people move into the wilderness of Egypt, and they don't have any food. They don't have anything to eat. How are they going to eat? So what does God do? He said, God, during the night while they slept, rained down some kind of wafer or flake. And in the morning, they woke up, and what? You know, they said, what is this? It's manna. The word manna means, what's it? That's what manna means. What's it, right? What is this? And God said, I'm going to rain down every night, and when you get up in the morning, it'll be there. Go out, labor to gather it in, do your work 6 days. 6 days. Gather the food. And if someone says this, if somebody says, I want to sleep in tomorrow, or so I'll get extra today, or if they said, I'll get extra just in case God didn't pull through next day, what happens? The manna will get moldy, right? It'll rot, unable to eat. God wanted to teach his people faithfulness. I want you to work 6 days. I want you to trust me and work the 6 days like I asked you. And I promise you, on the 7th day, you will not need to do what you think you need 7 days to do. Check it out. Exodus chapter 16, verses 22. Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 to 26. On the 6th day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the 7th day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the 7th day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. You know what he's saying? Like, people still didn't believe it. They're like, okay, 6 days, every day I'm going to come out, I'm going to gather my food, I'm going to do my stuff. And on the 6th day, God says, if you just work for 6 days, I promise you, you will have enough for the 7th. But people did what? I don't believe it. So on the 7th, they went to work anyways. They went out and they start gathering anyways. And God says, how will you, still you don't get it. Why do you refuse to trust me? I took you out of Egypt. I saved you. Do you think I will not provide for you? And he says, work 6 days. On the 7th, you will have it. Okay? Look what's going on. 29. Bear in mind, it is the Lord that's given you the Sabbath. That is why on the 6th day, he gives you bread for what? For 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the 7th day. No one is to go out. What you felt like, what they felt like they needed 7 days to do in order to take care of their lives, in order to watch out for their livelihood, in order to survive. God said this, 6 days. Go and gather. Go and work. Go and do what you got to do. Boil it. Bake it. Whatever you want. But on the 7th, don't do anything. I promise you, you will have enough. That is the promise. You will have enough that if you're willing to work 6 days, my promise is to you, whatever you felt like you needed 7 days to finish, I will get done in 6 days. You know, I always get so like, I always laugh when I hear kids or students telling me, I can't go to church. Why not? I have a project that's due Monday, so I can't take Sunday off. I gotta finish my project, right? I gotta go through this, or I gotta make this, or I can't take Sunday off because I have work. It's crazy that we're still stuck in this tired cycle of our lives. And all the while, God made this promise, if you would just trust me, in 6 days, I can get for you to get done whatever you felt like you needed 7 to do. If you would work and trust me in that way. Okay? But the second, the promise came in second place too. Leviticus chapter 25. This is talking about the Sabbath year, okay? And so don't get excited, okay? I'm not telling you guys to take a whole year off, okay? So this is the year for the land to rest, okay? For the land to rest. The farmer keeps working, but he doesn't touch the land. He can still go about sharpening his tools, doing with the animals, dealing with all that, but he cannot touch the land. The land will have a complete rest for an entire year. And so the question all the people were asking as God was giving this command was, well, how are we supposed to eat, right, for year 7? Like, it's like a whole year, Lord. It's not like a day. This is, if we don't farm for that year, we're going to die. We have to work. We have to keep toiling. We have to keep plowing. We have to keep harvesting, or else we're not going to have enough to eat. That's the mentality. And God says, no. I want you to work. And on the 7th, I will show you what happens. Look at Leviticus chapter 25 here. Leviticus 25. Now you guys are like, wow, we're going through all the Old Testament today. Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 5, the Sabbath year. This is part of the promise. I want you guys to see this because this is real. The Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. Verse 3, for 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. You know, prune, cut things up, make things grow more, right? 6 years work. But in the 7th year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a year to cease from working, a Sabbath to the Lord. Sabbath, again, means stop. Stop working, right? Stop working to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Don't do anything to it. Don't touch it. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your unintended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Just don't even touch it. Don't look at it. Don't play around with it. Let it rest. Okay, we pick it up at verse 20. So they ask, okay, well, basic question. If we only work for 6 years, how are we going to eat the 7th year, Lord? I don't get it. How are we going to do that? Okay? So the question, look at verse 20. You may ask, and this is so, God, so good. You may ask, what will we eat in the 7th year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? Look what he says here. I will send you such a blessing in the 6th year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. So while you plant during the 8th year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the 9th year comes in. So you take the whole 7th year off, and then you start planting again the 8th year, right? And at the end of the 8th year, that's when you begin to actually harvest and eat from there. But God is saying, I will give you enough food in your 6th year that will last you 3 years to the first part, if you would have the faith to take it. This is a promise that he gives to you, because this is the gift of Sabbath that he gives to you, church. He wants you to know what peace feels like. He wants you to know what refreshment feels like. He wants you to be able to engage in work with zeal, with energy, with passion. He doesn't want you to continue your daily grind, coming to a place of burnout, coming to a place of snappish anger. It doesn't come to a place where you're constantly blaming people, where you're constantly yelling and calling other people lazy because you're so upset with how tired you are. He wants you to know rest, to be refreshed. And I know in our own way of mind, we're thinking, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. And this is his promise. If you would dare to work 6 days and have the faith to take 1 day off to the Lord, 1 day completely to the Lord, you will get done in six what you felt like you needed seven to do. That is the promise of God. You will be in a place where you will receive more blessings than you need to know what to do with it. And I tell you, I preached this message and I've gone to a better place, right, from this. I remember when we were dealing with Sabbath years ago, and I just never understood it. I was probably in the same place as I was sitting with you, as I was preaching to you. I was trying to get it myself, and as I was saying it to myself, I said, Lord, I don't get it. There's never enough time. Like, even if I try, there's not going to be enough time, right? Until finally, you know, like, and you guys don't know, you know, pastor's confession, you guys don't know when I burn out, because I don't show it, right? But I do complain about it sometimes, right? But I complain to very few people, right? I have a phone call, and I'll say, hey, I'm really tired. Like, I'm really tired. And, you know, in their compassion, they would, you know, pray for me, or they'll say something sweet. But I remember those seasons like that, and I remember I had it was a continual season of that. It felt like it never ended. I was like, oh man, I'm really tired. I hate the word burnout because I don't like to hear it from other people, so I don't like to say it myself. Like, I'm not burnt, I'm just tired, right? So I just keep saying that. But I knew in my heart I was burnt. Okay? And eventually, you know, I shared it with the head pastor. I was like, hey, pastor, I'm tired. Like, I'm really tired. And he said, I need you to take a Sabbath. I need you to really practice it. Like, but there's so much to do. I really need you to practice it. And I did. At first, it was not easy. It was not easy, right? I would take the day off with the family, and I would be thinking, like, I need to get everything done on Tuesday so I can have the whole day off and practice the Sabbath. But even on Wednesday, I'll be, like, answering emails, and, you know, if someone calls, I'll try to pick up, you know? I'll just do stuff still, right, on that Wednesday, which is my Sabbath. But as the time progressed, and as I just kept practicing Sabbath to the Lord, as I kept going through the process of delighting in God on that day, as I kept going through the process, right, of trying to recalibrate, recenter what I'm doing with my life on that day, as I'm spending time with the wife, as I'm spending time with the kids, on that day, okay, over a period of time, you know what begins to happen? I thought I would never have enough time to get anything done, right? And the Lord, I kid you not, has blessed us completely. How do I know he's blessed us completely? Right? I have two pastors that we hire that helps carry the load. We couldn't hire them before. You know why? We didn't have enough offering coming in to actually hire anybody. It was impossible. And we just kept working because we just kept doing, we had to do it. And yet, the promise of God is that if we were willing to work, I promise you there will be a blessing that will carry you if you have the faith to rest. All right? The place, the fact that we are, I mean, as a church, that we are where we're at and still be able to bring in staff, right? Though we should work on making sure that they can live off of what we give them. But, you know, that's another day, right? But the fact that we can bring in staff, right? And we share the burden of work now. And it's I think it's a blessing. I think it's an answer to prayer. I thought to myself, I needed the seven. But when I was willing to take the rest, God was able to do much more in the six that I thought I needed seven to do. You guys follow me? You guys follow? I am not the one trying to tell you to rest. God is commanding you to rest. You guys need to rest. I'll tell you next week how to rest, what that would look like, but at this point, I need you to get through your mind. You need to rest your soul. It needs it. It cannot function without it. You need to rest to the Lord. I mean, this is very important. It has to be to the Lord, okay? It can't be just like I'm resting by just doing nothing. It is to the Lord. And in that rest, you will see his promise. What you thought you needed seven, I can do in six. What you felt like you needed in seven, I can do in six. Okay? And here's the ultimate, here's the end of this message. And it's very simple. Ultimately, the drive of the heart of the Christian life, what he's doing in this breaking you out of your cycle, breaking you out of your sense of making you uncomfortable by taking an act of faith to put you in a position where you don't feel good about it. You know why he's doing that? Do you know if you feel uncomfortable taking a rest, you know why he's doing that? If you feel like he's breaking you in the midst of doing that, do you know why he's doing that? Because he loves you. Think about this. The Bible says, Esau, I hated, but Jacob, I love. You guys know the difference, the two brothers, right? At the end of their life, both of them were pretty rich, right? But Jacob was messed up, right? Jacob got rocked by God throughout his entire life, like rocked, okay? But why did God say, I hated Esau, but I love Jacob? Because to love requires to break. It requires you to break out of the cycle that you've been living in, the comfort, the convenience, the rat race that you are. He needs to break you out of that cycle so that you can become more and more like the image of his son. He is molding you and shaping you until you become that image. And so when you have this uncomfortable feeling of, I want to have rest, this doesn't feel right for me, I don't think that this is for me, I don't know this is, you know, pertaining to me, I don't know this is applicable to me, let me tell you something. God is saying, hey, I'm trying to break you here so I can mold you into the image of my son. Not because I hate you, but because I love you. You cannot be stuck where you're at. You will die in that trajectory. You will not survive in that trajectory. The whole world is dying because they are in that trajectory. My trajectory for you, my passion for you, my goal for you is to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And so you must be broken out of your convenience and your comfort. And my gift to you is rest. The rhythm I'm going to give you is rest. Rest unto me. Rest and know that I am good. Rest so that you can taste the reality of who I am. Rest so that your soul can be shaped and molded and changed more and more into the life, into the image of my son Jesus Christ. You guys get that? You were called for that. Christ died to open that door for you. And so when we refuse to rest, when we think that we know better to God, it's like spitting on the very sacrifice of what Christ has did. I died on this cross because you were on a trajectory of death. I died on this cross for your sins to open the door that you may find true rest. And when we say, I don't need that rest, we spit on his grave, we spit on the cross, we spit on the sacrifice, and we say, I don't need you, Christ. When you believe for a moment that you know better than God, you know who said that to? You know who thought they knew better than God? Our very first parents, Adam and Eve. Look how great that decision made for them. And so now we're stuck in that same rhythm where we're thinking to ourselves, I know better than God. I need the 7 days to work and to hustle and to grind to get my stuff done, to get to where I need to be. And God all the while is saying, I need you to rest. I need you to rest so that you can be calibrated, so that you can be ready, so that you are able to listen, that you're able to hear where I am taking you. Because where I am taking you is not going to be easy, but you need the rest in order to get there. You need the rest in order to be filled by me, in order to be conformed to my words, in order for you to receive the energy, the power, and the conviction to move forward so that I can shape and mold you into the image of my son, Jesus Christ. Church, there's a reason why you're so tired all the time. And there's a reason why you're so stuck all the time. And there's a reason why you feel burnt out all the time. And it's because, honestly, let's be honest here, that we really don't trust our God as much as we think we do. We don't have the faith to hold on to him as much as we think we do. Because this is the promise. If you would trust me and have the faith to rest, one day, out of a cycle of seven, I promise you, you will get done whatever you need to get done. But even more than that, you will receive so much. Because where I have and where you're going, what I have planned for you is so much greater. So stop running a race in circles. Stop chasing after your tail. Would you rest? Would you receive this promised gift from the Lord? 6 days you are to work, and seventh you are to rest. My promise, God's promise to you, is if you are willing to take the faith and rest, you will get done in six what you need seven to do. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we are a generation that is constantly chasing. And Lord, we are a generation that's constantly tired. And we are a people, oh God, that proclaims with our lips that we love you, that we know you, that we appreciate you, that we care. And yet the rhythms of our life does not match that reality. The rhythms of our lives do not match that. And so, Lord, I pray over our church. Lord, you said that without faith, it is impossible to please you. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that we will have a church of people who will have the faith in what you have to say. That if we were to work six and rest for that one day, you will work in us something that is beyond our comprehension or our reality. Lord, faith is what we need. So we pray, God, grant us that faith. Grant us that faith to trust your word. Grant us that faith, O Lord, to hone into that word, to obey it, to live it. Have us have that faith, O Lord, and trust what you have to say. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.